This is The Book and the Spade, a report on the latest discoveries and developments in biblical archaeology. Here's your host, Gordon Govier.
Recreating the floor tiles that surrounded the temple in Jerusalem during the time of Jesus is the project taken on by Frankie Snyder, a mathematician who works with the Temple Mount Sifting Project. Amidst debris taken illegally from the Temple Mount in 1999, Sifting Project volunteers have found marble tiles in various geometric shapes, and Frankie Snyder has discovered where these tiles fit in several designs of a type of flooring called opus sectile, which date to the time of Herod in the first century, as well as a couple more designs that date to the time of the Crusaders.
I always joke about it with people and say, it's like trying to put a picture puzzle together, but I don't have the box top, and I only have 1% of the pieces. But can I tell you what the floor looks like? And the answer is, in many cases, yes. So it's very interesting working with this puzzle like this.
This is marble, so that's got to be pretty sturdy also, I guess. So I guess that's a good choice for floor.
Yes, and it's interesting because people thought Herod did not use marble. And it turns out he actually does use some very nice marbles. Now, I'll have to qualify the statement about what marble is. We have something that is termed ancient marble, and these are very beautiful colored stones, all different kind of polishes, you know, very beautiful polished stones. If you're talking about them geologically, some of them are actually marble. Other ones are alabaster. Some are a stone called breccia. It's sort of like a conglomerate. It has many different colors in it. And some are granite. So when you see these, you'll see all different kinds of stones, but they're all termed as being ancient marbles. But some of them actually are what you think of as a crystalline marble.
And where do these stones come from?
The imported stones come mostly from Turkey, Greece, Tunisia, and Egypt. Some of our local stones, we have something we call bituminous chalk. Its short name for it is bitumen. It comes from down by the Dead Sea near Nebi Musa. It's just a couple miles from the Dead Sea. Other stones are local limestone, so the local limestone can be white or pink or cream, usually sort of a creamy pink color. And then we also have some calcite alabaster, which comes from a couple caves that have been discovered here in Israel.
So it comes from all over.
Yes, it's from all around the Mediterranean.
I guess Herod was the kind of person who always looked for the best in whatever he built, and he built a lot of stuff.
Yes, he did. He was very interested in architecture. We can tell that he was interested in what he saw when he traveled. So when he traveled to Rome, he saw the architecture there, and he wanted to bring those kinds of structures back here to Israel. And so we have absolutely marvelous structures that are here from the Herodian period that are very typically Roman from that time period.
Where is this taking you? What's next? Are you just looking for more geometric patterns, or what are your goals with this project?
Well, at the Sifting Project, we're continuing to sift, and every day we're looking for more tiles. And it's really surprising because I'll get calls from there. In fact, I got a call here this morning from one of the archaeologists out there. Hey, I found this tile. What kind of material does this sound like? And he begins to describe the tile for me. And very often when he'll describe something, he'll say, okay, I've got this tile. It's shaped like a house. Do you need one that looks like a house? You know, be like a little box with a triangle on the top, that kind of a house. And I'm going, yeah, I need a little house. What size is it? So he gave him the size, and I'm going, I knew exactly where it goes. It goes into one of the Crusader patterns. And sure enough, it popped right in there. So it's really interesting because I'll actually get calls from at the site going, hey, we found this really neat tile. What time period do you think it is? Do you have one? If I give you the sizes, can you tell me where it goes? And very often I can go, yep, I've got exact spot to put that into.
So you're getting more and more material.
Yes, we are. Now, what I'm hoping to do, or what I'm beginning to work on, is a comparative study of all of King Herod's opus sectile floors. Because I've had to study all of his sites in order to know what to even look for on the Temple Mount, because everything comes to us in a big jumbled mess, I've actually been looking at how to compare the various floors in his palaces as far as the materials, the patterns, which ones were earlier, which ones were later, which ones are simpler, which ones are more complex. Are there themes that are carried out from one to another? Are there designs that show up from one place to another? And one thing I have discovered is a particular shape triangle. If you take a square and you draw an isosceles triangle in the middle of it. It turns out that the height of your triangle and the base of the triangle are the same size. And it gives you some really odd measurements of 52 degrees, 64 degrees, and 64 degrees. Even for people who don't know much about triangles, we'll go, those sound weird. You know, I'm used to 30, 60, 90, and 90, 45, 45. But this type of triangle, it turns out it was very rarely used in the Roman world, but I find it all over the place here in Herod's patterns. Not only did he have tiles that were cut into that shape, but also he used that shape to generate patterns. Meaning, if I took this triangle and I overlaid one of these triangles on top of another one going in the opposite direction, it creates various shapes. And these were actually used. So it's very interesting as I go from one place in the country here to another, looking at these floors, I can see how this particular shape was used and reused many times. It's sort of a signature tile for Herod. So that when I see that kind of tile, that kind of shape, I have a good idea of how it was used, and I know it's connected with Herod, so that's been very important in my work.
For those who've just joined us, we're talking with Frankie Snyder, who works with the Temple Mount Sifting Project team in Jerusalem, and her part of the project working on restoring what the floor of the temple looked like in the time of Jesus. We started out by talking about this is one example of showing where
yes.
Jesus walked, the kind of surface that Jesus walked on. Would this opa sectile floor been all over the temple or just in certain parts?
Just in certain areas. This is the kind of floor that generally needs a roof over it. If you're out in the open, where you could be affected by rain or cold or snow, really cold weather, if rain got under the tile, if a little bit leaked under there and it froze, it would pop the tile up. So you want some kind of roofing. One of the best guesses would be in the Royal Stoa. This is a very large basilica pavilion type building that Herod built at the southern end of the Temple Mount, and it stretched from one side of the Temple Mount to the other. It was a huge gathering place for people who came up to the Temple Mount. First, it was shady under there, so that's nice. If you're familiar at all with Jerusalem, most of the year it's quite sunny and can be very hot, so you're looking for a shady spot. So it's a very large, shady area. In fact, this is believed to be the area where the story of Jesus turning over the table of the money changers would have taken place. This particular space, this very large area, was used for transactions like that, for changing your local money that you brought from whatever little village way out in another country when you got to the Temple Mount. You would trade it for a Temple Mount coin, a Temple Mount half shekel, to pay your annual temple tax with it. Or people might be purchasing various things that they were bringing in for offerings. Some of those transactions might take place in the Stoa. So this is a very large open area where we would expect to see some kind of really fancy floor. Also, the other three sides of the Temple Mount had a portico or a porchway going all the way around it. These were open so that as you're walking down through the Stoa or through any of these porticos, it's open with just columns towards the temple side that you could, so you can see everything that's going on the Temple Mount as you're walking around in these shady areas. Those were covered with some kind of a roof, so those would be a good area also to put these floors. And of course, within the temple itself, they may have actually been within the what would be called the ulam. It's sort of like a front porch of it, and then in the first large room where the menorah and the incense table and the table with the bread on it would have stood. That room right there may have also had these beautiful floors on it.
You said when you came to Israel as a whim, you volunteered for the Temple
yes.
Mount Sifting Project, and it wasn't your intention to become an employee and get involved in all of this. So what other projects have you had a chance to work on? And for instance, we had Bryant Wood here a couple weeks ago for a lecture at Kermit L. McCotter, and he was showing some photos, and I thought it looked like Frankie Snyder was in the group of volunteers.
It was me, yes. Yes, for about the last 6 or 7 years, they come twice a year, and each time that they come over here for the dig, Bryant and Scott Stripling, whenever they come, I'll go up there and volunteer a couple days working with their group. So it's really nice to be able to meet with these archaeologists who are coming into the country by doing something like this. Also, because I'm working with each of Herod's projects, I work with the archaeologists who are at Herodian. In fact, I got to dig out there for a few days about a month ago. I got a call from one of their archaeologists, and they said, we're working in the triclinium, and we're going down towards the floor, and we might be able to reveal some more of the floor tiles or the floor tile patterns that were in here. Do you want to come help? And I was going, oh, of course I will. So I went out there several days and helped them, and we did discover lots more of the patterns underneath the floor. And it turned out that the floor that people have been walking on there for the last 10 or 15 years, if you dug down about 2 or 3 inches, you were on the original floor, and all the tile impressions were still on there. So it was amazing for us to find how close it was to the surface that we could actually get more information. But I'm also working with the stones from Khazaria. I'm working with stones from Kypros, from Banias. Banias is Caesarea Philippi. This is way up on the northern border, up near Lebanon. This is the place where Jesus and Peter were having a conversation about him being the Messiah. There's a large village that was built, a palace and a village that was built by Herod's son, Philip. But also, up on a hill, there's part of a wall, was part of a retaining wall that Ahudnezer took note of. It was something called an opus reticulatum wall. It's a particular type of structure. And he realized there were only 3 of these in the country, and that Herod was responsible for the other 2. So he probably was responsible for this one also. And so he dug up there in, I think, 1977, 1978, 2 very short summer digs, maybe like 2 to 3 weeks each. But they uncovered a lot of opus reticuli tiles. And so a few years ago, an archaeologist who's connected with that project came to me and said, here, can you do something with these? And I told him, yes. And once I got all the tiles together, I'm going, you know, this really looks an awful lot like the floor from Jericho. I think you've got another Herodian palace up here. I'm working with Dr. Raquel Barnaton from the Antiquities Authority, and we will be publishing that soon, because we think we have found a palace that is not recorded in Josephus and is not recorded anyplace else. Josephus mentions that Herod built a temple up there in honor of Augustus, but it doesn't say anything about a palace, but we think he's got a palace up there too.
A previously unknown palace of King Herod at Caesarea Philippi, identified in part by the type of flooring seen in other palaces as well as the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. Our thanks to Frankie Snyder for sharing with us her work at the intersection of geometry and biblical archaeology in the Temple Mount Sifting Project. We have more of this story in the latest issue of Artifacts, our quarterly magazine. To subscribe to Artifacts, go to our website at radioscribe.com. That's radioscribe.com. I'm Gordon Govier. Join us again next time for more Backgrounders on the Bible through biblical archaeology on The Book and the Spade.
The Book and the Spade is produced by Scribe Media. For information on biblical archaeology resources or obtaining a copy of this program on CD, go to our website at radioscribe.com.